Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Notturno, You Will Die at 20, and The Godfather, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone, or Corleone. Hi, David. I've done everything.
How are you doing this week?
Swell. And I'll do my Italian movie joke another time.
Okay, you've got us all on the proverbial tenterhooks now, but I guess we'll have to wait. Well, fair enough. Anyway, we'll get to The Godfather in a moment. And, you know, it is, I guess, when the family took that name from the region they came from in Italy. But I think when they all decided to become American, they started pronouncing it Corleone. But you will hear people every once in a while in the movie call it, you know, say Corleone, because they don't understand the family history. But again, let's begin with a couple of other movies and build up to that one. Notturno is the latest movie from Gianfranco Rossi, an Italian filmmaker who makes basically observational documentaries, but it's not the kind of sort of cinema verite, shaky camera, grainy images that we're used to from a lot of that sort of documentary. He makes very, very painterly, very painstakingly crafted images. That's the way his movies look. His last one was one called Fire at Sea, for example. And it was very, very much along those lines. And so is his current movie, Notturno, which is now, by the way, streaming all over the place, and it's not hard to find. So this is a movie that takes place in the Middle East, and that's what it's about. And it takes place basically over around the intersection of a few different countries: Syria. Right now, I'm not remembering what all the different countries are, but they are Syria. I'm sorry, Lebanon, Iraq, Kurdistan, and Syria. Yeah, I just didn't want to say anyone that's not included. But it's basically about the borderline between those various countries. And the beginning of the movie is a text reminding us that all this sort of thing, borderlines in the Middle East, was all something that was decided in a very arbitrary way back about the middle of the beginning of the 20th century. There's nothing natural about these borderlines. And they've been contested and fought over ever since, and of course, definitely are right now. So what we have is this documentary that ranges around the borderlines and the different contested areas involving Kurdistan and Iraq and Syria and Lebanon. And what we see is basically little sketches. There is no narrative line to this whatever. Little sketches of life in these different areas. So the movie starts out with a mother in a prison, and she is mourning the death of her son in that prison. And she is absolutely miserable, and it's real, and it's absolutely heart-wrenching. But of course, it's also, you know, it's very actual, and it reminds us of the kinds of human heartbreak that take place in these areas all too often. And the movie goes on then, and it shows us a number of different things, and I'll just mention some of them. And again, there's no real chronology to this. We're often returning to something again and then going away from it and going to other things and then coming back to that. That first thing, among the things we see are some children having some sort of art therapy sessions with a teacher, and the kids are being encouraged to tell some of the horrible things that they've experienced and witnessed and that they remember. And these kids are talking about seeing people killed and seeing people tortured. It's very hard to watch, although the kids seem to have things more or less under control. They aren't going crazy with any sort of overwhelming emotion, but then you have to wonder how much is being repressed by these poor children, and how would any of us be if we had been through the kinds of experiences they've been through. There are scenes where we see a mother listening over and over again to messages on her cell phone from her daughter, who is being held hostage by ISIS abductors, and money has to be sent to them, or she has no idea what will happen to her. And we also see a number of times some patients in a psychiatric institute or hospital who are rehearsing a play which deals with some of these issues. And apparently, again, this is a sort of therapy. And that's not all that we see in this movie, but it's some of the things we see in this movie. Again, all shown in these very gorgeously composed, beautifully photographed images, which in a way sort of goes against the spirit of some of the horrific things that we're seeing and hearing about. Very much a lot of it very clearly staged for the camera, or at least modified so that the camera can capture the handsomest possible images, which again may go against the spirit of some of it, but it makes it all quite a beautiful movie to look at, even though it's often quite a wrenching movie to experience because of the things that we're being told about. We're not really seeing any of these things, but we're hearing about them, and we're hearing about them firsthand from people who really have been there. And again, it can be pretty wrenching. So Notturno is not a fun movie, but if one is interested in what's going on in today's Middle East and today's horrific political situations in places far away from the United States, but in today's globalized world, not that all removed from the United States, then Notturno is definitely a movie to take very seriously. Our second movie today, You Will Die at 20. Once again, it's clear from the title that this is not a comedy, but this is a movie which is right now, again, getting a whole lot of exposure in the United States, and it's primarily a production from Sudan. And oh, we don't see many Sudanese movies in the United States, but that is what this movie basically is, and it's a very interesting one, and this is very much a narrative film spoken in Arabic, and it's a beautifully acted film and a beautifully directed film, and it shows you that in a place like Sudan, where we don't see many movies coming from, you can have films that are made just as eloquently and in ways as elegantly as we'll see in any Hollywood production, or at least certainly any well-crafted American production. This movie was directed by and co-written by Amjad Abu Alala, who definitely has a whole lot of talent. And it starts off with in a village in Sudan, and a child has been born, and a mystic is kind of going into a sort of a trance and saying things about the child and about the future and that kind of thing. And what everybody is hoping for, especially the child's mother, is hoping for a blessing to arrive on the child. And instead, what happens is that the mystic proclaims, uh-oh, this child will die at 20 years old. Well, this is a very traumatic thing for everybody to hear, because everybody takes this completely seriously and believes it. So now you have the mother and the father hearing about their little tiny kid, that the kid is going to die at the age of 20. So this is very unhappy. So what happens is the father just can't handle this. And the father basically leaves home, goes off to work somewhere else to send money back home, and he isn't heard from in any meaningful way for a very long time. So this now leaves the mother with her son, who is apparently going to die at 20. And she is very upset by all this, and she is very, very overprotective. She doesn't want to let the child's name, by the way, is Muzamil. And as he grows up, she doesn't want to let him out of her sight. Eventually, she does decide to have him get his religious training, and he goes into school and starts learning about the Quran. And of course, good Muslims are expected in many parts of the world to memorize as much of the Quran as they possibly can. And Muzamil not only memorizes the Quran, he memorizes the whole thing. As somebody once said, it's not really memorizing the Quran, it's Quranizing your memory. But he definitely does that, and he memorizes the whole thing in two different versions. So he is clearly an extremely gifted, even perhaps brilliant person, but here he is in this village and being just with this overprotective mother and this whole prophecy hanging over him all the time that he is going to die at 20 years old. So at least he gets some meaning out of his life with his schooling and so forth. Then he has friends and so forth, yes. But his life is very much circumscribed by his mother's overprotectiveness and is by his own expectation that he will not make it past the age of 20. Well, I won't tell what happens at the end except to say that for a movie called You Will Die at 20, it has a reasonably happy outcome, which is to say it's sort of an open-ended outcome. There's no definitive verdict that comes down on his 20th birthday or anything like that. But the movie really does make you think, and what it made me think about primarily was the role that religion, and in this case what I would call a particularly superstitious version of religion. I'm not talking now about the Islam. I'm talking about the mystic and the prophecy and all of this, which everybody immediately decides, or almost everybody immediately decides to believe because it's written and it's going to happen and there's nothing that anybody can do about this. And the movie really kind of gets you into the dramatic implications of living in that sort of belief system. Again, it's a beautifully made movie, very dramatic, quite suspenseful in a number of scenes. And it's a very, very nice, it's been called a coming of death story rather than a coming of age story. But it's really a coming of age story that deals very much with the experiences of this young man. That character, Musamil, is played by a couple of different actors, once as a very young child and again as an adolescent heading toward adulthood. And it's just a marvelously acted movie, as well as a very effectively written and a very effectively directed movie. So if you just want to see a good, interesting drama, see You Will Die at 20. It's really very worthwhile, and I found it very engaging and very engrossing. If you're interested in the way things are in Africa nowadays, then it has all the more interest for that reason too. It's a really, really good movie, and I really had a good time watching it, even though it's not exactly upbeat. It's not exactly downbeat either, and it's a really, it's just a very well-made movie for anybody to see and enjoy. And our final movie for today, yes, the title of it is a little bit complicated, and it's given in different ways in different places, but the version that I have is The Godfather, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone. And this is Francis Ford Coppola's reworked version of The Godfather Part 3, which came out in 1990. Now, the Godfather movies, and anybody who is of any sort of a certain age already knows all about this, the Godfather movies were pretty legendary in their own time when they came out. The Godfather, that is the first movie by Francis Ford Coppola, starring Marlon Brando and many, many other people, is just remains to this day one of the great classics about Italian-American crime, Italian-American life, Italian-American families, and so forth and so on. Yes, it's a crime story. The Godfather is the head of an organized crime family. But the movie is just an extremely detailed and richly drawn portrait of a whole lot of different things that relate to the idea of being an Italian-American crime family, written and directed by Francis Ford Coppola, himself, of course, an Italian-American director and a part of a very gifted generation of Italian-American directors. It includes other people like Martin Scorsese and Brian De Palma. But The Godfather is one of the most legendary and most worthy movies to come out of that period. Then Coppola himself said, "My gosh, that I could have made that movie even more meaningful, have even more comments on American life than I did." So when he made The Godfather Part II, starring Robert De Niro and various others, he made it very much about the similarities and overlaps between organized crime and big business. So there he got into a real critique of America at large, not just sort of a certain facet of Italian-American life. And the whole big thing about The Godfather Part II, which again is a very rich and full and detailed movie, full of all kinds of human drama. One of the themes of it is the way criminals sometimes try to make themselves legitimate by getting into business, but in a way, organized crime is business, and in a way, business can be organized crime. And so that's very much a part of the kind of intellectual thematic of The Godfather Part II. And it's a very effective and quite marvelous movie that hops back and forth between a couple of different timelines, but does so in a very clear and coherent way. And it's just a fascinating movie. Coppola also edited together The Godfather and The Godfather Part II at one point to make an epic that would be kind of chronologically tracing the history of this family. Well, eventually he decided to make The Godfather Part III, and it came out way back in 1990. And the big thing about The Godfather Part III, a big thing about it, was that here religion enters the picture, because here the Vatican now becomes part of the story, and dealings with the Corleone family, the crime family, and their efforts to become legitimate, and some of the business they're involved in also involving the Vatican. And so we have the new Pope coming in, things like that become very much part of the story, even though it primarily takes place in America and is still, of course, very much a story about an Italian-American crime family. And it stars some of the good Godfather gang and also some other people, Al Pacino, who's in all the Godfather movies, Andy Garcia, who's only in this Godfather movie, Diane Keaton has a pretty major role in this, you know, a whole lot of big stars. So that's The Godfather Part III. Well, Francis Ford Coppola sometimes can't leave his movies alone. A movie he made many years ago called The Cotton Club, just a couple of years ago, he re-edited it and came out with a new version of it, which I do think is better than the original. Well, now he's done the same with The Godfather Part III, which he is now calling not so much a Part III of a trilogy as a coda to the first two films, a sort of a tailpiece or epilogue to the first two films. It's still almost 3 hours long, so it's not just a little tail piece. Well, the big question is, has Francis Ford Coppola improved The Godfather Part 3 by making it into the coda? I don't think he has. He's rearranged material. He's added a little bit of new material at the beginning and especially at the end a little bit, but I don't think he's improved it. One of the great weak points of The Godfather Part 3 was the unfortunate acting of Sofia Coppola, Francis Ford Coppola's daughter. I've met her. I've interviewed her. I think she's a lovely woman, and she's a very gifted filmmaker in her own right. But her performance in The Godfather Part 3 was a real weakness of the movie. And the re-edited version, alas, does not improve her performance. So I have to say, I would think people would be better off probably to just look at the original cut of The Godfather Part 3 from 1990. But if you want to find out what Francis Ford Coppola himself thinks is better, then look at the coda. In any case, the first two Godfather movies remain major classics, and the presence of the third one doesn't really damage that. So if anything, go back and see The Godfather Part 2, and maybe let it rest there. I think you'll be better off in the long run. So that is my somewhat hopping from one place to another story, Jill.
For which we thank you as ever, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Nocturno, You Will Die at 20, and The Godfather Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone.